5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
It's important you get off to a good start.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Can we start again?
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple
M. I feel good.
All right, time of real need. Right? It's a Monday. We're in lockdown again for the fourth time. Everyone's kicking the can down the road. So, Rabs, we get in here. We front up. We're ready to go to deliver a high-quality product.
Mm-hmm.
Then I look at the screen here, and there's old Fat Guts parked down at the Creamy. We made a pact to all be here to drive a really good thing.
No, we did not.
Oh.
Jim, I'm just doing what the health authorities and the government have told us to do. Stay at home, Zoom when you can, and I've been listening to Molino.
Have you?
And, Jim, what I'm hearing, I don't think you're going to like.
No, that's why I haven't been listening to Molino.
Well, we come out of lockdown, I think, Thursday night at 12 o'clock,
good.
So Friday. But there's a but there, Jim.
What's the
11,
but?
Well, 11 more today doesn't help things, and especially one in aged care. That doesn't help things. So, well, I think we're in a bit of trouble, Jim.
Fat,
so,
are you trying to say extension, extension?
Extension, extension,
all
extension.
Right. Anyway, Damien Barrett, he better get in here. That's I'll just put him on notice. He better be in here next if he wants to retain his position on this amazingly high-ranking show. Now, hello to you, Fat.
G'day, buddy. Good to see you. G'day to you, Rabsy.
Just hacks a kick inside 50, running back with a final play. What a mark by Riewoldt. That is unbelievable, running back with the flight of the play. The pressure was coming from Chol, and he has taken an amazingly courageous mark.
Is that our boss?
That's the amazing Ewan Giles.
That's Ewan.
Ewan. Wow.
Did a nice job of it.
Hasn't he kicked on? Because he used to do what Rabsy used to do, and you got rid of him. They're doing that. So,
And Rabs is next. I can only put up with anchors for about a minute, and then they have to go.
It's my
no,
fourth
very
year.
Good man, Huey, and running a tight ship with Triple M footy. So, nice bit of calling.
And rugby league.
Rugby league.
He does that, he does that also.
Rugby league.
Are they trying to round our man up?
Who?
Pete Vlandis.
Oh, what's happening, Jim?
So I'm just reading between the lines that some big, big names in rugby league are not happy with the main man.
You sure?
I'm sure. So, Fat, it interests me because I've got unbelievably good intel where rugby league's concerned. I told you about three of the coaching changes that were going to happen last year. And they all happened.
The next day when they all happened. You're right, Jim. There's a lot of changes there. A lot of head-high tackles have been sent off and they've been suspended.
Yep.
And I know a lot of the players aren't happy, but don't worry about Melbourne Storm. They won again.
Yeah.
They beat the Broncos 40-12 now on the back of a masterclass from Nico Hines.
Yeah.
Or even Hines, maybe.
Nico Hines.
Yeah, he's a star, mate. Mm-hmm. The Broncos are trying to offer him a big contract to go up there. But he's only 24, hasn't played a lot of footy for the Storm, but was unbelievable. And he's their kicker now. He kicked 16 points. And also Cooper Johns, he crossed for his first
Didn't
try.
He just?
Well done, him.
What about the cheese?
Son. And the cheese was unbelievable. Oh, hectic cheese.
Hectic cheese.
He is on fire. So they are flying Melbourne Storm.
All right, now get to it. Oh, we love them. Now, who else? Another good news story from the weekend.
Well, the Sydney Kings won, Jim. They beat Melbourne United. That's not a great story.
I said good news story from the weekend.
But Jock Landale was Melbourne's best with 23 points and 12 rebounds. But I know where you're going, Jim.
Come on.
You're going to the Vixens.
Come on, our girls.
Well done to the Vixens.
Finally.
Well, 64-all, the final buzzer had sounded, but they had a shot. Rani Samerson, who played her first game. She was up front. She was in front of the goals, Jim. Went back and went bang, and she scored 35 points, 27 of 29 from the shooting, 8 from 10 from the super shot range. She was a star, so we signed her up because that's where they've struggled in front of goals, Jim. So we get Rani back there. Well done to her. She did her knee, and she hasn't played a lot for the Vixens, so that was a nice little win.
Chelsea Champions League win. Was I surprised to see that, Rabbits, or was that expected?
No, Manchester City would have been favourites for that. So, it was a really good goal from Kai Havertz.
Havertz. What about their coach? He's a funny little thing, the Chelsea. Only been there for about three or four months.
That's it.
He's a funny looking thing. Australian cricketers finally got out of quarantine, Jim.
Yes. Nice.
And they walked out of the hotel, and Steve Smith was the first one out. Guess what he had in his hand?
What?
A guitar.
Did he?
He had a guitar.
Yeah, he does love
Jim.
His guitar, yeah.
So he's been playing, and I don't know, maybe we might see some more beautiful music like this.
I've seen you with your hair down and your bare feet, dancing around the living room, spilling wine on your dress.
Jim, there's something in the guitar, Jim, because I saw Luke Beveridge at the airport. Guess what he had in his hand?
What do you have?
A guitar.
Oh, what are you
saying? So he's taking a guitar away, and then, of course, yes. Clarko loves his guitar
and always has. What were you just showing me there, Bartholomew?
Justin Thomas, one of the really good PGA golfers.
Oh, unbelievable.
He's cut a check out of his own pocket to keep a bloke called Mike Vasacki on the to pursue his golf career. So poor old Mike's run out of money, and JT has just cut him a check out of his
quality.
Own money.
He's a good boy, that's JT. Nice. He copped unwarranted heat for an incident that happened earlier in the year for me. He'd said the wrong thing. He straight away acknowledged he said the wrong thing. Said it to himself, by the way, but put his hand straight up and said, "Right, I've got to be better than that. That's the wrong terminology." And then people started piling in on top of him. Fat, I didn't like it. He's a
There's
good
some
man.
Some funny blokes in the golf. They're a bit weird. I think that individual sport, Jim, it's some weird.
But he's good. I like
it. Hey, the French Open at Roland Garros is on now, Jim. Have you been watching
Garros? No, I haven't. But I know our girl's going well.
Well, they're on tonight. Yes. Ash Barty plays tonight. So does Alex Diminor. He plays tonight.
Ashley
John Millman.
Barty, yes.
Jordan Thompson, the Aussie, he plays tonight. And Alex Popovrin. What about him? He's Alexia, actually. Popovrin,
yes.
Jim.
Yes.
He plays tonight. He's a good Aussie. Guess who he takes on in the first round?
Who?
Raf Nadal.
Oh, there we
if
are.
If you don't mind.
Thanks for that.
Raf's won, 14 or something?
Yeah.
French Opens?
Yes.
He just turns up for fun. Fair dinkum and... what's that, Raps?
That's the Brisbane Lions theme song.
La Marseillaise. Remember we spoke to the Zork about it?
Yeah.
This is what their theme song is based on, the French national anthem. All right, is that it for you, Fat?
That's all at the minute, Jimmy boy.
Well, as I said before, Damo better drag his bloody journalist ass in here, otherwise I'm going to filthy up.
It's a Rush Hour with JB and Bill on Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Yeah, you're just an old man lover.
Yep. I love big saggy balls.
I go.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, and round 11 of the AFL season is complete.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Nah, get Purple in here. Where's Purple? He's at his joint. Fats at his joint. Thank God I turn up and actually keep this good ship afloat. Why aren't you in here, Purple?
Because I was told by our producer, Jill, that I didn't have to. And I thought, well, you know what? Let's adhere to what the government wants us to do, Jim.
Why?
Do the right thing.
Well, because that's working.
Staying remote. Yeah. Staying agile.
Nah, that's good. That's good. I lay it in as an aged care program. Now, Purple, I know you're focusing on the good stuff these days early on. Who did you like the most?
Well, I'm going to start with Essendon because of what they did against West Coast, coming back from 5 goals down to win their fifth game of footy, and at that point in time put them inside the eight. By the end of the round, they were back outside the eight. But it gives them reason to think that they could, in the back half of the season, still challenge those good teams. And as you know, Jim, the 6 losses that they've had, 3 have been by a kick or less. So there's some serious credential amongst that scoreline itself. And They've managed now to line up their own beliefs with actual action, which I think is a pretty significant outcome for this club, because it was going in a path initially in the start of 2021 that had me a bit concerned. But they've all come together. Dawson Heppel can't be praised enough for what he's been doing off a halfback flank, can he? He's been really crucial to the stabilising of that whole back line. And we saw what happened with Ridley last year. Redman has stepped up. You've got Laverty Bill, who's really putting together a nice season of footy. Up the other end of the ground, you've got big Hooksy up there holding up down the full forward position, but allowing Claypool around him to get involved in the play. And then midfield, Langford's had a really good year, hasn't he, alongside Parrish and Merritt, and it must be said also McGrath. And Jim, I just really like what they're about. They're good to watch, and then we've managed to sort of rattle off, 10 names there without getting to a key part of what they've done this year, and that being the kids in Cox, Jones and Perkins.
No, I didn't see the game, but I liked it, what they did as much as I was alarmed by the other side of the equation. I know we'll get to the bads later on, but West Coast have coughed up some big leads in games this year. They don't often lose at home, so there's some concerns there. What about Friday night, of course, the Dogs in Melbourne?
Yeah, that was a real attention-grabbing win by the Demons, the way I looked at it. Look, for what it's worth, I tipped the Bulldogs. I thought they were going to handle Melbourne. In the end, you've had to reassess that pretty early in the game, and they didn't let up on that attack on the player and the ball and just on their own system. They've made comments publicly, haven't they, this year, Jim, that they just want to get their own system going before they worry about the opposition. And that takes significant faith in your own setup to be able to do that. They got their own game going, basically, as you called it, from the first 18 seconds when that goal went through. And just the way they prepared for Liberatore, the way they prepared to tackle hard and to only use the one player per tackle. Christian Petrarca, post-match on your broadcast, Jim, I think it was, said that we just needed to trust the tackler. And it was a message that they wanted to really convey and deliver on, in that to not get caught up in getting mass numbers toward and around the ball. So they're able to free themselves up to have the players ready to get the loose ball. Look, really impressive. It sets up a second consecutive most anticipated Friday game, doesn't it, against Brisbane, who also emerged from round 11 as one of the major positives, given they've now gone seven straight.
They are flying, Brisbane. Don't worry about that. But Melbourne are the real deal. There's no doubt about that now. They're more of a team, Jim. I don't reckon they were a team last year. They're more of a team. They got their superstars in Oliver and Petrarca and Gorn and all these guys. But then when you look down back with May and Lever, they just sort that out beautifully. And then these other boys just chip in when they have to. You know, Spargo's been great. Harmsy comes in, does a job. Pickett, Hibbert, and Brayshaw, mate. So they're just a more rounded team, and they seem to care about each other a lot more.
No, well, beating Geelong, beating Richmond, beating the Western Bulldogs. So every big sort of task that's been placed in front of them, they've managed to play amazingly well in the face of that. I agree. I thought they were brilliant on Friday night. They did a number on the Western Bulldogs on the back of contested footy, by the way. Won that by about 25, which is a belting. So Brisbane, it is fascinating, Purple, because they are electric at the minute.
Yeah, they are. And you just go back, don't you, to the start of the year when they got stuck down in Melbourne at very short notice, and they seem to just be losing their way a little bit. They had that unfortunate result against Geelong in round 2. They managed to beat Collingwood the next week in round 3 by just the 1 point. They lost the week after to that to the Bulldogs, it was, to at that stage, make them 1-3 after 4, but have not been beaten since. Going to next Friday night's game against the Demons in red hot form, and unfortunately for the scheduling of that game, it was going to be played in Alice Springs. It will now be moved to Sydney as we speak right now. As we speak, it's yet to be absolutely locked in, but it certainly will be moved from Alice Springs, as will two other games that were scheduled for Melbourne would be moved away from round 12 into Sydney. But I look forward to last week's game, Jim, really intensely. I reckon as this one gets closer for this Friday, it's going to be as eagerly awaited, this game.
I agree with that. And just as we round out the goods, Fat, sometimes you don't play at your best, but the good clubs keep winning, and Richmond and Geelong fall into that category for me.
Yeah, Richmond were good, I thought. They looked like they could have lost that game. But Jack Riewoldt, you've got to give him credit. 5 goals. And that mark was magnificent.
Nice.
To actually run back with the ball, but also get a nice little ride, a nice little bump, was unbelievable. So well done to him. And the Cats, they haven't played that well for the last 3 or 4 weeks, but they got the points. They got the 4 points on the weekend. They go back down the highway, and they go to the bye now. They needed a bye. There's a few sore boys there. A couple had to pull out before the game, including Blixarves and Guthrie. So they go 8-3. They'd be happy with it.
At Riewoldt Mark, Jay Brayshaw-esque. That's what I
nothing
thought.
Nothing like
back with the flight and then elevating and taking a big sort of team lifting hanger. That just came straight into my mind. All right, we go to the others.
What's a better mark, actually? What's a better mark, that or Bolton's?
I'm going with Jack Riewoldt, Bill. I actually honestly think that this is one of the all-time great marks, just for what Jim said. He had no fear in running back with the ball, had no fear in leaping into the space that was coming at him, and then, as you said, got not just the initial leap off his teammate Castagna, but the secondary elevation. And then he had his own teammate, didn't he, Marvio Cholder, to contend with, who would have hurt him, I think, if he had been an opponent. So It was an extraordinary mark. But where do you guys reckon it ranks? I've got it ahead of Bolt, and I've got it ahead of Nick Riewoldt's famous mark back in 2004 too.
Ooh, I don't think it's quite as stupidly courageous as that was, but I have it ahead of Bolton. I think it's the mark of the year so far. All right, the other side of the equation next.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Going through the positives of round 11, JB. Now it's time for the negatives.
I'm starting the negatives, Purple. I'm getting the betting. I've got the Granicle Scoop, Brucey Laird style. I'm wandering out in the middle to face Michael Holding. The 2 hours that was stolen from my life from 1:45 to 4:30 on Saturday at the MCG, the single worst game of football I've ever seen.
What happened there,
Jim? You've got the double scoop, have you, Jim? I'll bring the Duncan Fernley Magnum to the equation as well and have the same view on that. It was just unwatchable, wasn't it, for what they both dished up. And you've got to put them in there. They're now 9 losses now out of the 11. And I don't know what Nathan Buckley is trying to do post-match, saying that we're happy with how we're playing and we're clearly playing better, because that's not what I saw. And forget the fact it got back to 10 points. The fact that we're one goal at three-quarter time says all that needs to be said in my eyes.
No, it was a very hard watch. And because I know everyone's listening and I know what everyone's thinking, I'm a North Melbourne supporter. I know what a hard watch looks like. I've seen bad footy played, Purple. Don't worry about that. But, God. And the Cats, Bill, weren't a lot better. It was just a horrible game.
No, they've been, as I said, ordinary for a couple of weeks. And I think they needed this bye to come up and just regroup again. But they are 8-3. Poor old Collingwood aren't. So that was – I'm glad I watched it for 25 minutes, Jim, and I just had to get back down the highway. I actually drove home, put on 4 quaddies each state and just drove home.
Speaking about North Purple, that end scoreline flattered them. They were belted again in that game. They cannot defend the turnover. As soon as the footy's turned over against North Melbourne, the opposition scores. That must be a big worry for David Noble.
And I don't know what they're trying to do with the, to use your phrase, I think, which you introduced to footy, Jim, to take off the 45. You need to be highly skilled to do that, and North isn't. And how many turnovers they actually created themselves by trying to do it. I get why they try to do it, but that was unwatchable. We don't like talking the game down, but we have to when it came to Collingwood and Geelong and even North and St Kilda. Gold Coast and Hawthorn. Now, Gold Coast would have been in the positives had we got to them, but Hawthorn's clearly in the negatives. And we talked about North Melbourne losing a succession of matches. Hawthorn's now lost 20 of its past 24. Just to quickly recap that, they lost their last 11 of their last 13 last year. And have now lost 9 of their first 11 this year. That's 20 out of 24, Bill, that they've lost. And I don't care what Jeff Kennett says by way of a rebuild only taking 2 years, and the marrying up of what he says with Alistair Clarkson, they are yet to work out, I feel, how badly off they are at the moment. And they may be, amongst all the unwatchable teams right now, number one most unwatchable.
Well, the other now I know we're jumping around here, Purple, from good to bad, probably because it's a Monday and that's what happens. Isaac Heaney, we failed to mention in the goods. I did that game yesterday. He's a gilt-edged star of the comp, Isaac Heaney.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? I really love that he's putting it together with now a lot of matches. We've seen him in the past. He's been around for 100 games now. He's certainly shown it before, and he's been best on ground before, but he's really, really playing that role that they've always known he could play, and his body's now allowing him to get the regular footy in. And I mean, you talk about the crucial players for the Swans. You could mount the case, couldn't you, that he is number one when it comes to who could we least afford to lose in whatever happens this year. And it's starting to unfold nicely
for him. No doubt. In fact, that is a difficult role he plays. He's trying to get out of Bud's way. He's trying to get up the ground, but then bring it in. It's not an easy place to play footy.
And hard to match up on because of his size. And he can mark overhead, lovely kick, and, beautiful boy. I tear down the other end of that game. Harry Mackay, very good early. What happened late?
Well, explain it.
Well, he's got this thing where he's got to kick a banana or around the corner when he's virtually directly in front. Now, I don't know what's going on there, because normally when you hit him like you do early, your confidence is up. Give me the ball. Give me the ball. I am the man here. I'm going to have one of these days. But then he just lost all confidence, and going around the corner, I just can't work out poor old Harry, because he can play and he's getting it.
Look, he was okay, as you said, wasn't he? And again, so too was Walsh, so too was Cripps, but they just do what Carlton always does. They just don't ever surprise us, do they? Certainly in 2021. We just know what's going to happen in those games. And the Swans knew what they had to do when it got pretty tight, and the Blues just had no idea. They're just consistently mediocre. And yet again, and we've been calling this for about 4 or 5 weeks already, another season of footy has gone by the wayside despite all the promises they make.
Yeah, hard to argue with any of that. Speaking of mystifying goal missing, Nate Fyfe. For me, Damo and Fat, he's close to my favourite player. I've been saying it for a long time. I absolutely love everything Nate Fyfe does. But that one yesterday, Purple, where he marked basically 12 metres out almost directly in front, and then you could see almost the panic going through his head. Then he's tried to snap it and missed. I mean, for a bloke that does almost everything in footy better than everyone else, it's amazing.
Yeah, and Jim, we celebrate these players, don't they? And he's worthy of being celebrated the way he has been, given the two Brownlows he's got, and even prior to winning the first of those two, when I reckon he's robbed of one. So look, we talk them up, but it's only then right that we then question their deficiencies, and that's a real problem for him now. I mean, it's a half season horror act for him as it's unfolding right now. And again, it's not wrong to focus on it. It's detracting from his game. I think it's detracting from his standing in the game in 2021. Players have gone past him because of it. So yeah, I think it's a real problem. Just on that side of the country, Jim, speaking of the Bads, I know you hinted at it a few moments ago, but West Coast, again, I know they had injuries, and Kelly going down early, and then Allen also getting concussed and taken out of the game. It didn't help. Obviously, they brought Elliot Yeo back, and he was always, Bill, going to be on limited game time. But the way they just fell away against Essendon, their season is falling away, and look, for a lot of us who thought it was just going to naturally happen, well, it's not going to naturally happen now. It's going to have to happen on the back of something we're yet to see in 2021. And I'm starting to doubt whether they've actually got the capabilities of producing something that's going to get them high-end finals finish, which I thought was going to be the case at the start of the year.
Spot on. And they got to win at home. That's why that should have won on the weekend, because they cannot win away. Speaking of that, Dreamtime at the O, is it? It's going to be at Optus Stadium over there in Perth. I'll tell you what, they'd get a good crowd too, wouldn't they?
Well, I've spoken to someone locally today, and they're actually starting to think of the possibility of filling it out, or at least getting, up to 50,000, which I think the capacity, Jim, is it sort of closer to 60?
It is close to 60,
Yeah, they're talking about the 50 figure, which would be an extraordinary number. Now, whether it gets there or not, who knows? But we do know that Essendon historically has always had, I feel anyway, as big a following in that part of the world as any non-West Australian club. So here's their chance to see what's going on. It's a shame, isn't it? Because what would have been had it been in Melbourne. This to me is the first time in a long time where Essendon is a real live, vibrant chance at this stage of a season, and it would have been a great occasion at the MCG, and yet strangely enough, it might actually even be equally as big, equally as significant all the way across in Perth.
I can't wait. It'll be a good crowd.
I agree. I reckon it'll be fantastic. I love any footy played at Optus Stadium, by the way. It's a great look for the television audience back here. Right. That will be a beauty. So do we know, well, when will we know, Purple, exactly where every game is going to be played, or have they locked it in?
Yeah, they've close locked it in, Jim. We know that those three games that were penned in for Melbourne will not be in Melbourne, and they will all be in New South Wales. Again, as we talk, it could change pretty quickly. There has been some doubt in the past 24 hours over the locking in of even Adelaide Crows versus Collingwood, just for state border reasons that relate to South Australia there. And again, we're talking early Monday afternoon. Things can change, as we learnt last year, in half-hour increments. But we'll know tonight, the way I've had it said to me, that the round 12 fixture will be locked in. And then the fun begins, rounds 13 through to 23. They're slightly fortunate with the buys beginning in round 12, round 12, 13, 14. Six teams in each of those three rounds will have buys. So it's just given them half a silver lining to deal with this latest COVID outbreak, with the start of these rounds, which only have the six matches in each of those three rounds in question.
All right, Purple, poor by you for not coming in. Poor by Fat for not coming in, having the commitment to the show. I can't believe it. It's amateur. We got buses going anywhere?
Yeah, we have.
All right. Joint.
No, we're doing the right thing. We're listening to the health authorities, Jim, and staying out of our workplace.
Yes, because they're worth listening to.
Have you gone big time on them yet? Have you launched on them?
I can't even. I'm honestly, I'm that flat on it, I can't even be bothered.
We're going to wait for another, when we get told Thursday that we've got another week in lockdown. So then you wait for Jimmy Boy then.
Yeah, I'd better
I'll
get
tune in that day. But I'll leave you together to send a bus to those people's offices, Jim. But I'll just continue to leave the ones where we put them last week, Hawthorn and Carlton.
What about out Melbourne way for Bailey Fritch and his hair? What's going on there?
It's high.
Mm.
Jeez, it's
high. I wish I could have the option of having hair that high, Bill.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're gone, mate. Your feathers are gone. Well and truly. Good work, Damo. Great to see you
on
Zoom.
Well done, Purple.
Cheers, boys.
Damo's recovery session.
This is the Rush Hour, JB and Bill. Bill's joke to wrap up the show not too far away, but what stories are trending unusual up next?
Good, good.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
So then he yelled at the bird yelled back with infanities.
Profanities.
Profanities.
Write that down, please.
On the listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Nobody has their finger on the pulse quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, we're what are we doing?
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today? Unusual.
See, I'd normally try and get Domo to run so far over that we don't have enough time for this.
Yeah, that's right.
Why hasn't that happened today?
Because this is good, Jim. Stand by. You'll love this. You'll have a little chuckle.
Will
don't worry about that. Because, you know, Aussies, they're known worldwide for having a great sense of humour, but also taking the piss, Jim.
What was that you just said?
They've got a worldwide sense of humour. Everyone knows that.
Yes.
And we take the piss when we see foreigners overseas. So this is some of the lies Aussies tell when they're overseas.
Oh, I see.
You know when you meet a couple of girls in the bar or something like that, Jim? And they hear your accent. Ever happened to you?
I didn't need to tell lies as a rule in that space, Bill. I had enough going for me, but you probably had to come up with some bullshlarking.
Were you out that night when we said we owned the big chicken ranch and I was the big chook?
I was.
That
was in New York City, and it was actually embarrassing.
Before or after the cycling accident?
No, that was that same trip.
Yeah,
same trip.
And I was the big honcho
chicken
of the
ranch.
Chicken ranch, yeah. Anyway, these are some of the things the Aussies have told foreigners when they're overseas, Jim. He was in New York recently this bloke, and he said the kangaroos have a habit of kicking in the front door because they're attracted to the lights inside, so you've got to take out special kangaroo insurance.
Oh, no.
So can you believe that?
That's obviously bull.
No, people believe there's kangaroos bounce down the streets.
They do.
You know that.
They do believe that.
Well,
yes,
another bloke, he was talking to some people in America, and he told them he's a shoer. Mm. They said, what do you do for work? He said, I'm a shoer. You know what that is?
What?
He shoes the kangaroos off the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Come on.
So that's his job. He's get out of the road, kangaroos. They believe that, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the old drop bear, of course. Yes. Everyone believes the drop bear. It just falls out of the trees and drops on you.
Yep.
But everyone believes that. And what this bloke is saying, that it's like the Australians, it's a big in-joke. So when you see another Aussie, he goes, yeah, mate, that happens all the time, the old drop bears.
Yes.
So that's good. I like that. And the best sausage roll in Australia. Guess where it is, Jim?
Where?
It's in Freshwater Creek, which is a service station just out the road here on the Anglesey Road. And they got the best sausage rolls in the business, if you don't mind, Coco.
That's amazing.
There you go. Freshwater Creek General Store, 670 Anglesey Road. And what is next door is a beautiful cake shop too. So you can have a sausage roll and then go and get a cake, which you probably don't need, Ramsey.
Getting back to the hilarious lies that Aussies tell foreigners. Whenever you travel overseas, the one consistent thing that comes back to you as an Australian rabbits, I know you've done a lot of it, is people, especially in the northern hemisphere, are convinced that they are a minute away from dying in Australia every second.
Yeah.
That you're either going to get bitten by a snake and die, or a spider and die, or a shark and get bitten in half,
a crocodile,
or a dingo.
Yep.
Bill, you cannot convince them that there's anything but death awaiting as soon as they get to Australia.
I know. It's funny, isn't it? Because they just think they're everywhere, like under the bed or whatever. People just don't realise how safe it is here in Australia.
Well, they don't. And Rusty and the scared, weird little guys didn't help.
No,
come to Australia, you might accidentally get killed. All right, Fat, so not your best trending unusual, but anyway, it's a Monday.
We got there.
Well, hopefully he's got a good joke to wrap up the show. It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
On your home smart speaker and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless on tomorrow's show. One of our favourites, Sammy Groth, is going to join us to chat the French Open at Roland Garros.
I like it. Ashley Barty. All right, so Fat, Monday.
Yes.
Traditionally, good. A real bad joke day for you.
Spot on.
Mm.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Well, let's continue the tradition, Jim. You wouldn't believe it last week. You know what I did? I joined Old McDonald's Farm. Tell you what, it didn't take long before I became the C-I-E-I-O.
Oh, no.
C-I-E-I-O, Jim. That's
really flattening.
Oh, and that's... What even is that? That makes no sense.
C-I-E-I-O.
You joined a farm and then became...
Old McDonald's Farm.
Yeah, and then became a C-I-E-I-O.
Yeah.
What's it stand
then,
for?
Well, old McDonald.
Yeah.
Had a farm. Yeah, E-I-E-I-O.
What did you become, though? I don't get that bit.
Not the CEO. I become the C-I-E-O.
After joining a farm.
What?
The C-I-E-I-O.
That's as bad as you've ever delivered.
I don't think so. I think it's all right. Other people will get it. It's just you two don't get it.
No.
How good's the weather, by the way? 28 down here, though.
Mondays are not the facts. For some reason, they're not.
I've got to get back on the drink.
I'm about to say, you've been sober for 3 days, and you're still shit.
What a waste of energy.
What a waste of energy.